Good afternoon. My name is Mickey Smith. My attorney registration number is 6789. I guess that says enough that I'm so old that I'm going to apologize in advance for these glasses, because I do put them on and off, and I don't mean any disrespect by that if I look or peer over the top of them. It's the apology that comes with my age, I guess. This case is has been briefed, and I want to take this opportunity basically to talk to you about two issues that are contained within the briefing. But those issues are the apportionment with respect to Primetime, the sports bar that was the location where this occurred, the apportionment of fault under the Premises Liability Act and the Liquor Liability Act, and the issue of punitive damages. To give the framework of what I want to speak about is that there's a significant issue in this case about fault, and the defendant in this case has kind of, through the record, you can see a varied history. He started off with the counsel preparing his answer to the complaint that did not contain affirmative defenses, did not contain any kind of allegations that Primetime would share in the responsibility of the case. He then was pro se for a significant period of time, and the record would show that there were various things that went on during that time, including the motions to compel and motions for sanctions, all of which lead us to the trial of this matter, which defendant Mr. Vukelich appeared pro se. And I've got to tell you that in 35 years of doing this, it is hard to do a trial on anyone's part when there is a pro se party. Since that, this appeal was prosecuted by probably one of the best appellate attorneys in the state, and it's now that we come before the court and basically address a couple of issues. The trial court entered specific findings of fact, conclusions of law, and a judgment. There is no question that the court also did that from proposed findings that I submitted, as well as Mr. Vukelich had submitted proposed findings of fact. The substantial portion of the findings of fact, conclusion of law, and judgment are the portions that I submitted to the court. There is an issue in this case about what then is the standard of review for that. And specifically, I want to explain that my briefing may not be clear, but it's clear to me that the court should scrutinize those findings of fact because they were substantially adopted. 35 years and I still get nervous. They were substantially adopted from my findings. And frankly, that's good law. But also, the court should recognize that the trial of this matter was a very, very short trial. It took a full day. And the transcript is clear that the court issued the orders and findings, and they're all supported by the facts that were resolved. Now, the two areas that I want to talk about are apportionment of fault, first area. And there is an issue that's raised in the appellant's briefs that talk about the improper dismissal of Primetime before the trial of this case. And what I want to explain is that that really is a non-issue, because during the time frame that was going on, The defendant was not appearing at any of the depositions that were scheduled, did not file disclosures, did not respond to written interrogatories or production, and did not appear at the various settlement conferences where that action actually took place. Additionally, the defendant had moved from the place where he originally was when he was served and filed his answer and never advised the court of any of that. The correspondence and pleadings that were being filed were being sent to his parents' home. Although he's 32 years old, he was living with his parents at the time that the matter was filed. And apparently, none of those pleadings ever came back through the electronic or through the individual filings. But in his response to our motion for sanctions, he gave a detailed statement as to where he moved during that time frame. He got a new address. We had him actually personally served for that hearing. And from that time forward, the issues of fault on the part of Primetime have been fully litigated. Frankly, from the plaintiff's standpoint, it's difficult to litigate that issue because we had an empty chair there. They didn't produce any kind of defense that said the liquor liability doesn't apply to for us because of this. The premises liability doesn't apply because of that. It was strictly a matter that Mr. Vuklic's testimony was heard, Mr. Stover's testimony was heard, those issues were briefed, and we're here today.
Mr. Smith, as I understand it, the relative fault of Primetime was considered by the trial court, isn't that correct?
Absolutely.
All right, so why does it matter whether they were dismissed or not?
In my judgment, it does not matter at all. Because, and in fact, that's the position that I take throughout the briefing, but the appellant has made that as an issue, and I don't believe that it is a relative issue. It's a non-factor.
So why don't we then focus on the court's findings with respect to Primetime and the arguments that have been raised by the appellant on appeal in that regard?
Right. And frankly, the two ways, the liquor liability issue, there are two different issues, and one is the standard of liquor liability responsibility, and then one is the factual evidence that supports that standard. In this particular case, the court clearly used the correct standard, and that is willful service of an individual that was visibly intoxicated causing injury. That's the standard available to attach tort responsibility to a liquor licensee.
Mr. Smith, on that point,
sure.
I believe the defendant testified that he'd had 10 beers, is that correct?
Well, actually, the testimony was that he had 5 to 10 beers. there's really a factual issue on that, but clearly the issue that I think is present, the failures of proof under that, are that the problematic testimony of the comes from the defendant himself, because the problematic testimony is that he on at trial explained that alcohol had nothing to do with it. That was his words. And it's at page 28, line 25 of the transcript. And basically, he took the position and has taken the position all through this that what happened in this, his assault, was an accident, that he was not drunk. He never indicated that his friends were drunk. And ultimately comes in to say that he had 5 to 10 beers over a 4.5 hour time frame while he was at the bar.
Mr. Smith,
yes, sir.
Still on that point, does the record indicate how many friends he was with?
The record would only indicate through the video, the surveillance videos that were there, which reflect his table where he got up and came from. There were people that were there, and you can see them coming around Mr. Stover's table. But other than what is on the video, there are no statements of how many.
Where I'm going with this is I believe there was also testimony, perhaps from the defendant, that there were 10 pitchers served to him and his friends.
That's correct.
All right. Frankly, that strikes me as a lot. So you have an establishment, Primetime, who is serving a table of a few people 10 pitchers of beer. And why does that create an issue of liability under these statutes?
Well, I think that the reason why it does not is because there is no indication that there were only 5 or 10. There may have been 10 or 15 people there. The issue is that over 4.5 hours, he consumed somewhere around 5 beers. Now, I don't know that that doesn't create an issue. I think the issue, the resolution of that issue was by the court hearing the testimony of the parties, viewing the videos and having both parties explain what was happening in the videos so that she could therefore make a decision as to what occurred. And I don't know if that answered your question well enough or not, but I'd like to go on. But, you know, proving liquor liability is not an easy task, and I think that that's the reason why the legislature enacted that, was because they wanted to make sure that there was a specific standard to attach responsibility to the servers of alcohol. And quite frankly, in this particular case, there are specific failures of proof. First of all, this is not a case where there is any evidence whatsoever as to anyone's actual intoxication. There is a clear indication that people got into an argument. There were probably 10 or 15 people that are shown in the bar, and there were a bar manager and 3 waitresses at the time. There's no indication that anyone from any of those people. There's no testimony from the workers, the co-workers. There's not even any testimony from Mr. Vuklich's own friends as to how much they had or whether they actually appeared intoxicated, because the statute requires serving it willfully to someone that's visibly intoxicated.
Mr. Smith, was there evidence as to the manner in which those pitchers were served? Was Mr. Vuklich present at the time that the pitchers were provided? Were they provided to him or to the group, or how did the testimony come out on that?
There was no testimony. Ultimately, the testimony that did come out was that Mr. Vuklich testified that he would have done the same exact thing even if he was sober. So it's clear that the court took into consideration all of the testimony and all of those factors and resolved the issue that the liquor liability did not apportion responsibility to Primetime. I'd like to move on to the Premises Liability Act, because in this particular case, the Premises Liability Act requires knowledge, a notice of a dangerous condition on the property, and failure to reasonably take action to protect their invitees. I'm assuming that there's a determination that both of the parties would be invitees in this case. But in order to distinguish this case, this isn't a case like the Taco Bell cases where there's a dangerous environment. There's no evidence that there was a high crime area. There's no evidence that there was any prior claim, that there was any prior violation, that there was any prior disturbances. There's no indication from any law enforcement officer of any problem with the way that this bar was operated. There's nothing in the record that shows it was anything other than a nice family kind of sports bar. And I think that the circumstance that went out of control took a total, if you look at the video, of about 2 minutes. Within that 2 minutes, the manager of the bar, who had been present for the entire time, 4.5 hours that Mr. Vuklich had been there, separated the parties and had the parties that were arguing ready to go, when within a few seconds, 15 to 30 seconds, Mr. Vuklich approached from behind the bartender who was trying to get the Mr. Vuklic's friends out the door, and struck Mr. Stover from behind him while Mr. Stover was looking away. The key point on that is that when you look at the conduct, Mr. Vuklic said that he did not recognize the bartender as the bar personnel.
But Mr. Smith, your time is up.
Thank you.
Case will stand submitted. We'll issue an opinion in due course. Thank you.
Thank you.